Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Welcome to Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer, and joining me tonight is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everybody.
And Bishop Ben.
Hello, greetings to all.
And tonight we're going to talk about technology and the church. As I was sitting here before we started the podcast, fighting with technology and the church. When it works, and when it doesn't, it doesn't, you know? But there's so much technology out there today that we can utilize to reach people, to grow churches, to really make a difference in the world. And so, you know, I thought it'd be a good thing for us to kind of discuss that, discuss where we're going and what's going on with all of that. How we can better utilize it.
It's interesting. I remember chuckling when you sent me the text of what our topic was going to be, because I was thinking, ooh, that, I mean, yeah, we can talk about the actual technology in the church and then the mindset that the church has as a whole towards new stuff.
Right.
Towards, yes, technology and the broader picture of the church embracing the idea of moving forward so that you can continually reach folks where they are, understanding culture and so forth, because how people view technology kind of gives an overall and a bigger picture as well of their mindset towards towards trying to reach a community and the people around them. I think technology is a wonderful tool to reach out and move beyond. We have people that watch us everywhere, as I know y'all do, that aren't in the state. They're not in the same city. They're maybe not even on the same coast or same continent. And I think that's really, really neat that we can utilize that to spread what God places on our heart.
It has certainly helped tremendously, especially during COVID. It really has helped to keep people connected.
Yes.
Keep them encouraged and moving forward, even despite all of the lockdowns and everything else. So it's been a great blessing in that regard. And it's also helped after the bulk of COVID has ended, those people that still have health issues and whatnot be able to still connect,
right,
without feeling like they have to put their health in danger.
Yep, very much so. Well, we had the hurricane at the beginning or end of September here in the area. We weren't able to hold service because obviously we didn't have power. People couldn't traverse the streets safely. But it was interesting because I had a little bit of a trigger moment doing a live cast while we were hunkered down, and I remembered all those COVID moments, because we would broadcast service. We actually had people, a handful of people that would come, but we all social distanced. We broadcast from the sanctuary, and it was quite interesting going back. And I saw some pictures the other day that I had taken of us in the sanctuary, all social distance, just a few of us, and still broadcasting and trying to, you know, minister to people. But it was, but it enabled us, like you said, it enabled us to remain connected, and it enabled us to stay linked. People felt like they weren't so far away, if people didn't feel so isolated, because people, you know, come in and watch or turn on Facebook, watch, and they could see people's little comments pop up. They were able to keep in contact, and I think it's a beautiful thing. As a whole, the church has always been very behind the eight ball, if you will, in adopting technology. You know, they usually, churches are the last to get on board for a long time with utilizing different forms of technology to reach the people. I think churches probably have moved into a place of doing that better now, because they realize that technology is, you know, not evil. It's a tool, and like any tools, it moves in the direction that it is pushed or utilized. And so if you use different platforms that may not be perfect, obviously, but if they're getting your message out, I think it's a good thing.
And there are so many great platforms to do that with. Utilize Facebook tremendously for Facebook Live, for streaming services. And it's also a great place to, you know, stay connected with utilizing pages and groups. We have both our parish has both a page and a group.
Well, excuse me.
A group where members can come together and talk, and a page that's more for public consumption. And then, you know, we also stream to YouTube, which is great, especially for those that like to watch services on their televisions. YouTube is a great resource for that. And then we also stream here to younow.com and TikTok as well as our own video streaming platform that the church has. And so, you know, we're able to reach so many different people by utilizing all those different avenues of connection. But something that we do and the MCC does as well, River Marks Parish, they do an e-news each week as well, which helps keep everybody connected and up to date with what's going on. Helps remind them of events that are coming up through the week. As well as sending out, you know, once a month, things like the discipleship newsletter, which gives a lot of information on how to be a better disciple during the month, and various readings and things to do. In fact, I haven't looked at it yet, but I just got this month's discipleship newsletter a couple of days ago, so looking forward to reading that. So there's a lot of different avenues you can use to keep people connected, and utilizing them efficiently is important, because you can get, I mean, if all you do is you stream your service once a week on a platform, well, that's great, you reach people with that. But if you're not doing anything during the week to keep their attention and to reach out and connect with them, then, you know, it really is not an efficient use of platforms. So you really have to, and I'm not terribly good at this either, because I don't post as much during the week as I should. But Reverend Mark, he's on the ball with it.
Sometimes.
I think he posts just about every day on Facebook.
Yeah.
Church.
Yeah. Used to, for a while, especially during COVID, it would post, we would do our, obviously our Sunday service, and then do a midweek or through the week, little periodic. And I plan on to get back into that in my, with all the free time that I have to do those. And I just have to do them. But they become effective, but I found the more you are pushing something in a particular platform, the more it's active, obviously the more, you know, people are going to see it pop up and know that it's going to be there. Facebook is one of our main platforms right now for us to post things. You know, we're going to move over to Instagram as well one day. I just have to sit down to do it. Because that really kind of it pulls in a whole different group of people.
Right.
It's funny how different platforms have different age and generations interact. You know, and we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of where the people are and the best way to reach them in those areas. You mentioned YouTube. That's been a very strong platform for a long time, and fortunately it's not too difficult to navigate in order to broadcast to. And I think that's the other part of it, is things have become easier for churches to, even on a limited budget, be able to produce something decent and of good quality. The setup that we have now at MCC, you know, 10 years ago would have been so many thousands of dollars. You know, the computer we used to stream with is, you know, was expensive, but, you know, all the other components relatively affordable. And I don't think churches or ministries or nonprofits should be scared as much as they used to be to venture into those platforms and into that technology, because it's very affordable now, and most stuff is easy to navigate as far as the platforms.
I think that's very accurate. And I think that it's important that we utilize those to reach out to people as much as humanly possible. As I sit here and contemplate all the wonderful things that we can do with technology, I also think sometimes that we tend to get lost in it too.
Yes, very much.
And especially a lot of Christians, they tend to, and post-COVID we've seen a lot of this, where they tend to utilize it just for, you know, I'm going to go to church on Sunday via Facebook so I don't have to go and sit in a pew with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we need them to come out and sit in the pew and be a part of the church, be a part of the body. And unfortunately, so many of them don't do that, don't come out and, you know, experience the life of the church in any meaningful way.
Yeah. It's so limiting when they don't.
Right.
We were designed for relationships. And that's hard when you have gone through traumatic experiences, especially in church. Our church, and I know your church, and the people that you interact with on the regular, particularly, we've all experienced that religious trauma at some point.
Right.
And yeah, sometimes it's difficult when churches, to have people come to church. And I can think of a few people that have been in our church that have come to me and told me that, you know, they had to work up the nerve, they had to work up the strength and keep reminding themselves that MCC is different, you know, this church is different, it's, you know, a church that's inclusive, a, you know, churches like yours and ours that open the door for anybody, they can just come and be themselves. And at first, it's a huge hurdle because of all that trauma that screams at them when they're walking in the door. I know there's been times that we have had community events. Your parish came alongside our church, the UU church, people from different faiths and beliefs coming together for different things like World AIDS Day or our Pride event. I've had people say, oh, I would go to those events. I know they're good, but I just have so much hurt going to a church that when I go into a church building, I'm just triggered. How sad. And the good thing about technology is it can warm people up. I've also had people that have watched us for a year or two before they actually came because they were getting over their trauma, and technology enabled us to make that connection.
Absolutely. And I think that that's an important aspect too, is the fact that, you know, it brings in people who otherwise wouldn't set foot in a church.
Yeah.
You know, I've had many of people who watch our services online who say, you know, this is the first time I've been in church in 30 years. So I think it's important too that we have that open and loving space.
Yes.
For people to come and be a part of, and to give them kind of those options and those abilities to be there. I think that's very important. We also use stuff like Discord and stuff like that to help communicate as well. That's always helpful. So those have been a blessing to a lot of people, and it gives them an opportunity to kind of reach out in a moment when they need somebody to talk to. They can, you know, be there and, you know that somebody is there for them. So that's very helpful as well as a chat platform. Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was sitting here contemplating what you all were discussing about the technology. You know, now we're in the day and age where we're coming up upon AI. And I noticed a lot of pastors are going to using AI for like Bible studies and AI sermons. Do you see the MCC Church, Reverend Mark, going that way in the future, using AI somewhere in the future of the church?
My gut reaction to that is absolutely not. At least not my church. I'm not an expert when it comes to AI. I'm not an expert when it comes to how all that works. What I wouldn't even say I'm an expert on spiritual matters, but I've been pastoring long enough to know that a computer can't read the room or listen to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I know a lot of pastors that they have a predetermined sermon outline for the lectionary. And I don't push people or what's the word I'm looking for? I don't fault people for that at all. I have books that kind of give me some ideas and stuff like that. I've consulted them probably 90% of the time. I don't use them. But because a congregation is very fluid, it changes. There's a lot of internal struggles that people are going on, that have going on, excuse me. And I don't think that a computer is going to be able to, not anytime soon. Now, if we had the computer core of the Starship Enterprise from the 24th century, perhaps, but a computer generating something, or artificial intelligence generating something for a congregation that's in need, because I've preached to our congregation, we've had pastors abruptly leave. How is AI going to produce something for me to say in those places? Because it doesn't know the dynamics. You spend more time entering the dynamics than you would to the computer so it can spit something out to you. So, I mean, that's just a gut reaction based on what I know AI can do. I've watched YouTube videos of AI completely rewriting stories and franchises that I'm familiar with in the sci-fi world. And it's kind of impressive how they do it. I can also tell that it's artificial. I can also tell that there's not much inflection. I can also tell that there's no human element. And sure, the computer had to receive information, but if it's compiling it, you know. So I think it can be good in some areas, but I think this is my personal opinion. Again, I'm not an expert. I think it errs on the side of the technology side, which Bishop alluded to a second ago, where technology can be not so good. It can isolate us. We have so many ways we can communicate with people, and our communication skills as a society is probably some of the worst it's ever been. Because we communicate in texts. And so we talk in texts, and if you start communicating with people beyond the pattern of a text in a phone, you start talking to them one-on-one, folks have a hard time, oh, I can't concentrate that long. You know, I think that's why we see movies and TV shows so paced differently than we used to in the past, because I grew up in the era of, I'm a big Star Trek fan. I grew up in the era where, you know, they had 25 episodes a season, hour-long episodes, and they were character developing. And I don't think people have the capacity to do that anymore because they're bored, you know. But they're also screaming that most stuff nowadays is trash because it doesn't develop characters. And I think it's because we've been trained to live in the realm of what we can comprehend or what we can hold is texts. And, I mean, I text all the time, but I don't communicate like a text when I'm in front of somebody. So, sorry for the rant there.
No, fine.
No, it was very good. I was just curious about what you all thought. It's the same question for you, Bishop. Where do you stand on using AI within the Old Catholic Churches International?
I don't think it has a place in the church, honestly, because I think that it's important that we maintain kind of this connection with each other. And I think that it's important that we stay connected and that we... that there's a real person there, that it's not us just, you know, fluttering around, letting AI do our job for us. I think that we can get too reliant on those types of things and ultimately end up losing focus entirely on what's important.
Well, we have so many, I think we have, we're developing a society and a group of people that just wants everybody or something else to think for them. Right. So all they have to do is, you know, they don't have to really think for themselves towards, well, somebody else will handle that. Somebody else will do that. You know, this entity will handle that. The government will handle that. This will, AI will handle that. And at some point, it's like, okay, what are you supposed to be doing with your life? And I watch a lot of people that will post videos about how they've dropped out of college to go be content creators. In other words, all they're going to be doing is producing videos every day for people to watch them. And it's like, okay, how many people in the world are going to be, you know, how many millions of people are going to be doing that, and the rest of us millions, you know, how is that sustainable towards people that have health issues? Where are the doctors? Where are the nurses? Where are the researchers and people like that in society? And I think we get so bogged down in forgetting that there's a world out there and there's people to experience, and life is not a host of 30-second videos. And as entertaining as it is, now I'll admit, because I send Bishop funny little videos and Bishop sends me funny little videos all the time, I'll admit, yeah, they're wonderful to get a chuckle, but my goodness. How many hours of the day do we have to wade through videos before we come to one, two, or three that we think are wholesome or funny or whatever? So I think it's a slippery slope. Technology, again, is a tool that can be wielded and used to construct good things and build good things, but it also can disassemble things. It can also dismantle things and tear things down. That's why I don't engage personally. I don't engage in political rhetoric, because I personally see no end or no ability to resolve discussions through just little quick blips. You know, this platform, yes, we're talking things out, we're discussing things at length. I have no problem with that. But to just randomly jump on there and start arguing with somebody because I think they're politically wrong or spiritually wrong, or, you know, very rarely will I wade into biblical arguments online. Because one, and I know this is a huge assumption, but it really isn't. Based on some posts that I see of people's, you know, have they read the Bible? Because there's times that people post, I'm like, it is evident that you have not read that passage of scripture by what you just said. Do I go on there and land blast people? I have gone on Facebook before and defended family members who were under attack because they're LGBTQIA community. They were being beat over the head with scripture, and I just lightly landed my ship for, or landed my plane for a second. Said, you might want to go back and read that scripture again, expanded for a second, and then I got back on the runway, took off, and didn't look back. So, again, that's a rant for me. I think it's a wonderful platform. Technology offers a wonderful platform for us to do things. And you have to do your own conviction as well. You know, if you're good with however you're communicating, then do it. That's just for me personally, because I just personally don't have time to get into endless debates with folks.
Well, and so much of that happens online. You know, I've shared before all of the times that, you know, we've faced attacks and abuse and everything online. Still goes on to this day.
Right.
Because, you know, some people choose to make that their thing, just like there are people who think that, you know, their best bet is to be nothing but content creators. There are people who think their only job in life is to abuse others. So they spend their entire lives doing just that. And so I think that, you know, we can fall into those, you know, very deep holes if we're not careful.
Sure.
Of, non-stop abuse, and then of course we feel like we have to respond, and then we respond and they respond, and it just becomes a never-ending cycle that you just can't get out of.
Yeah. You
know? And I think that's very sad, but unfortunately that's life too, you know. That's part of what we have to deal with living in the real world.
And I think if you're going to engage on any platform, self-imposed boundaries of how far you're willing to go, because like you said, it could be endless. You know, because some people thrive on endless debates online. And it becomes exhausting, you know. The times that I have waded into spiritual discussions, on things that I've studied at length. One, I'm like, don't come across as holier than thou. Come across as, you know, here's something you may want to consider. You know, then how often do I want to respond to this? Usually it's just my comment and then I move on and I don't look back. Because, you know, if they're not going to go back and do the legwork to, hey, maybe I missed it, which rarely enters people's minds anymore, then you're just yelling at the wall at that point.
Right.
You know, you're just talking to the wall. And I don't want to live that way, where I'm just online blowing up at people, you know. And if they have that big of a deal, I'll be happy to talk to them over the phone or one on one. But I think you need to impose a little bit of some boundaries of how far do I want this to go? Because things, as we have seen, you can make the most generic comment, and it escalates into something that's, wow, that was so blown out of proportion. That is so blown out of proportion. You know, I shared this a little bit ago. There's a local platform here for the city we live in here. And this lady posted, she was in college, and she was like, hey, is there any coffee shops around that are locally owned that I could go and, you know, have coffee and just study and just be in a different environment? Somebody flew in there on the comment section and it was like, hey, here's an idea. Make coffee at your own house and save money. And I'm going, why was that even necessary? Why was that even necessary for you to fly? A woman was just simply saying, hey, know any local? First, she was asking for locally owned, not a chain, but a local owned restaurant. Okay, so she's supporting local business. And she just wanted to change, you know, just a different little atmosphere to go and do some stuff and work on. And this person comes flying in and just makes something out of the most innocent comment, and you're going, okay.
And unfortunately, that is how things work sometimes. choose, as one firm put it, people choose violence. You know, they wake up and they choose violence. I think that unfortunately is the case sometimes.
I agree.
So we have to do what we can to try to avoid that as much as humanly possible. So, yeah. Bishop Ben, your thoughts?
Well, you know, in keeping with the ideas of technology in the church, I was already discussing different platforms. Now, the one thing we haven't discussed is watching modern churches so far. Like here where I'm in the area, I'm in the Metroplex of Houston area. A lot of mega churches use their sanctuary, and they open up their service as a rock concert in the beginning. Light, laser beams, you know, the whole nine yards. To me, that seems like that's overkill for a church. Yes, the lights and stuff have a place in service, but for me, a rock opening a worship service as a rock concert doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. A number of churches that, because I came out of Pentecostal charismatic background, and a lot of churches were moving that way very aggressively when I was pulling out. And, you know, we use multimedia in our church. We use videos. We have things that help aid. And even when I was my first pastorate and stuff, I just didn't have a desire to not utilize technology, but not to have a desire to just saturate us with stuff. You know, just because you can doesn't necessarily mean you should. You know, what did Paul say? All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So there are some things that you have to say, okay, is this a benefit? You know, I can do it, but is this a benefit? I'm permitted to do it. But I think it really detracts from what you're trying to do, and you're moving over into sensationalism. Now, we're emotional people. And there's moments in service when I think we should give in to the emotional experience that the Spirit is driving with us. You know, people that cry, people. I've been surprised. We have such a diverse congregation as far as backgrounds. We have Baptists. We have Methodists, Lutherans, Catholic, Old Catholic. We have Pentecostal and, Episcopalian. All those groups meet within inside MCC in our services. And I'm always curious, because there would be times in the service where, I feel very touched by what's being said or sung, and I begin to cry. And I'll have people come up to me after service and, Pastor, are you okay? I saw you crying. And I'm taking aback a little bit by it, because I give in to my emotions when I sense that whatever was said, whatever was sung, really touched my heart, and that's what I needed to hear. And I have to be careful understanding that people have different backgrounds and experiences and levels in which they give into their emotions. But I think you can take that way too far and you miss the message of what's being said and what you need to hear, because you're so caught up in, you know, ooh, they played that beautifully, or ooh, the lights are on point, or ooh, they have a new setup on the stage, and, you know, I think we use technology, but we don't have to. It doesn't have to be a Lady Gaga concert.
And see, that's what I say. You know, if people feel that they have to have a concert to engage with the Lord and truly worship, then where is your heart really at? Do you want to come to church because it's fun, or do you want to come because you want to worship and experience the Holy Spirit.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There is a balance, like you say, there is a balance between technology and worship. And for me, as an old Catholic, when we're up behind the altar, we're not there for the spotlight. We're there to put God and Jesus in the spotlight, not us.
Right.
So.
And that's a good point, too, because I think that in some respects, technology sometimes does get in the way of the Holy Spirit. You know,
right.
I know personally sometimes when I'm up there in the middle of Mass and technology isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, it is a great distraction to me.
Very. Just, yeah.
You know, and I am sitting there trying to figure out what the heck I'm going to do while I'm sitting there trying to say Mass, you know, and that's, and Bishop Ben, bless his heart, does me a huge favor sometimes and turns off the comments online because he knows that I can see them when I'm up there on the altar. Mm-hmm. And so he turns them off so that I won't be distracted by what's going on online.
Yep.
But if it were not for that, you know, I would easily be distracted on a regular basis with what's going on TikTok or Facebook or wherever.
Audio is a huge distraction for me because
yes.
I have a background in audio. I've done television. I've wired sanctuaries for audio. And I'm also a musician. And I know how distracting audio can be because the saying is when the sound is right, nobody notices. When yep. when it's not right, everybody notices.
Yeah.
And it pulls people out of what's going on. I've watched amazing sermons. I've watched amazing services. I've watched times where I've had something I really needed to have said or heard be completely, you know, masked and hidden because, you know, my mic's too loud or this is not right or, you know, somebody's phone's ringing. and I know that I can't control that, but audio is a big thing. And luckily, you know, Bishop helps a good bit and catches many of those problems now for us. And because if not, I have to get up, walk to the back of the church. Everybody's watching me walk to the back of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it just interrupts the, and sometimes you don't get people's attention back.
Right.
And, right. You know, and it could be an innocent thing, you know, it could be something that, you know, a button got pushed by accident or a slide got slid by accident, and it's nobody's fault. Nobody did it right. Maliciously. It's just an accident.
Somebody dusted the board a little too hard.
Right. Yeah. I have to make it a habit that every time we have church cleanup day that we test the board a lot right. Afterwards.
Right. And, you know, the thing for that, you know, is a senior pastor like you and Bishop, when you're actually running the service and running the Mass, that's something a senior pastor shouldn't have to worry about. They should be able to get up on the altar and do their thing and not have to be distracted by a musician or a stage monitor being loud or, you know, because it throws off their feeding and then the congregation picks up on that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, there's been many a time, I'm sure Bishop's had this, where we've had such audio issues that it took me 2 or 3 minutes to get my mind composed back to, oh yeah, I'm preaching. And I go back and watch sometimes when I've had those moments, I'm like, yeah, those 2 solid minutes there were complete rambles. The pastor been drinking the communion wine too much before he got to the pulpit there.
I have been there many a time, my friend, many a time. And, you know, but thankfully, you know, God does bring people into our lives that can help us in those moments and help us to find our balance and stuff. So that's always a blessing. Some final thoughts on technology, Reverend Mark.
I just think, I think it's a wonderful, I'm very happy to see technology at a place to where it's easier to use, it's more affordable for smaller churches. I think we have to be careful, like with anything in life, that we must live with balance, and we must embrace not being so overwhelmed with it that that's all we see. We have to remember, in ministry, it's about people. Church is about people. It's about touching those hearts. It's about making sure people know that they're loved and celebrated, and not worrying about how flashy everything is, not worrying about how this works or that works to the nth degree. But remember that let's use it as a tool to minister to folks. When it works, it's great. If it stops working, you have to push through and still get your message out to the best of your ability.
Absolutely. Bishop Dan, your thoughts?
Well, you know, the things like that, you know, we're talking about moving forward. When things happen in the church, we just move forward and not acknowledge it, because it may throw off the Holy Spirit from moving within the congregation, or allowing that person that needs to hear the certain message being preached, not allowing them to hear it. So we just have to be mindful on how we use technology, when we use it, and how long we use it for, and just not get hung up in technology, period.
I agree. And I would encourage everyone listening, especially if you're a pastor or if you're on a church board, you know, work to, you know, find ways that your church can utilize technology without becoming too much of a distraction or too much of a burden. And ignore the beeps in the background and that technology brings us. And so, but to, you know, do what you can to use it to reach out to more people and to provide them with a place of peace and comfort and support and love. That's my advice. All right. Next week, I've already come up with the title for next week.
Oh, my goodness. We are on a roll.
Yay.
So next week, our podcast is going to be about being thankful in a thankless world.
Hello.
So... it is a podcast right before Thanksgiving, so I thought it would be a good topic to delve into as we enter the Thanksgiving period.
You know what would be hilarious?
What's that?
You do your podcast right after you have your Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, my Lord.
And why? It'd be like, can I make sense after all that food?
Yeah, sitting here drooling on myself. So that'll be next week's topic, and we hope that you all will join us for that. Until then, keep shining bright, my friends.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/ Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.